Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? For those of you tuning in via live stream, I want to, first off, I want to say thank you to Sally and Pastor Tom for doing a great job leading us this morning. As Pastor Aaron mentioned, we got some people down, some people out, so thank you for them for leading. And it is, again, to those of you watching us via live stream, welcome this morning. It's good to have you with us. It is so good to be back with you this morning, though. After being out myself, I just miss you all. I'm thankful to the Lord that we have live stream, but it is so great to be in person, Amen. Worshiping the Lord. Seeing all of you this morning, you know, we're here, we're still worshiping the Lord. He is still good. It's still a beautiful day to praise Him, to worship Him. Every day is a beautiful day to worship Him, but especially Sunday. Pastor Aaron this morning in Grace Intercessors said something along the lines of, I'm just going to have to resign myself to the fact that every Sunday when I come, I'm going to be excited to worship the Lord. And that's a great, great attitude to have. Today also marks another first of sorts. See, come this November, it will be 5 years since I was with you for the very first time as a guest preaching student in his first semester of seminary. It'll be 5 years. It was the first time I had ever preached on a Sunday morning message when I was first here. My, how the Lord has worked in the last 5 years. Because this morning is another first, and this is so cool, it still really hasn't quite sunk in how the Lord has worked in this way, but this morning, for the very first time, I am up here before you preaching as a pastor. And I love it. I love it. So, obviously, I have been with you many, many times before, and for a while now, but this morning is truly, truly special. And I thank you for that. So, as my thank you to you all. That's my thank you. I want to take this moment, just while I'm up here, to express my thanks for all of your love, all of your support, and all of your encouragement leading up to and during and in the few weeks since the ordination a few weeks ago. I love you all, and I look forward to serving with you and being with you in the future. But yeah, as we look forward and as we transition, though, to looking at this morning's message, as Pastor Aaron mentioned a little while ago, today was originally scheduled to be Communion Sunday, and then obviously we called a little bit of an audible on that. So up until last Sunday, I had been preparing for a message regarding communion. So what was going to be that will now be saved for down the road, but I am still super excited for what God has shared with me, where God has led, and what God has for us this morning. I'm still super excited about that and for this morning's message. Because when Pastor Aaron asked if I still wanted to be on for this morning, I'm like, let's do it. I think that was my actual text. Let's do it. Because here's why. This year in 2021, something I have been doing, something I have been challenged to do and thus encouraged in doing, has been to read through the Psalms entirely. And in doing that, something that's happened has been a deepening love for the Lord and for His Word. That's been the result. So I would certainly encourage anyone here or anyone listening to, at some point, take time and do that. Read straight through the Psalms, because I believe you'll be encouraged, and I believe that you will be blessed by the Lord in doing so. Also, back in April, when I had the opportunity to be up here and share back in April, I preached on Psalm 46, talking about how we are conserved in the chaos of life. When it all breaks down, God is still there. So this morning, we are going to hop backwards in the Psalms from Psalm 46 to Psalm 16, and we are going to expound on the truth that God is still there by seeing that God is not just always present, He better be first. First in our lives. That's what we're going to see this morning. This morning's message is titled, But First, the Lord God. And that's intentional, right? Because if it sounds a little simplistic, right? But first, the Lord God. Well, that's actually it. It's supposed to be simple, right? The Lord should always be first. So that's what we're going to explore this morning. Last week, Pastor Aaron, in his series in Acts, talked about yielding to the Spirit and allowing God to direct us. He is first. And since he is first, let's go to him who is first, shall we, with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for our worship, Lord, our singing, our voices, our hearts to you, Lord. Lord, help us see this morning that you are first, Lord, that you are above all, that you have always been above all, you are currently above all, and you always will be, Lord. That's our truth, Lord, that's your truth. Lord, that's what we want to live, that's what we want to believe, and that's what we know we can be confident in. So I pray, Lord, as you are here this morning among us, Lord, for those in person or for those listening via our stream, Lord, that you just move and you work in each single person here this morning, Lord. We love you, we praise your name, that we can gather together. Amen. Amen. As we go through Psalm 16 this morning, here are a couple diagnostic questions that I want us to all think about, right? I want us to get our minds working, our minds moving as we move through our text. First, do you delight in the presence of God? Do you delight in the presence of God? Second, do you find satisfaction in what the Lord provides to you? And then lastly, are you truly confident in the Lord? Now, these questions may seem obvious, right? Oh, I know the Lord. Yes, all those questions are yes, yes, yes. That's how I would answer them. And why they may seem obvious, many studies that we are seeing are showing that the average follower of Christ may have meh answers when it comes to these questions. So I pray that that may not be true of us, that we definitively say, yes, I delight in the Lord. Yes, I find satisfaction in what he provides. Yes, I am confident in him. That's my prayer for all of us. But that may not be true of everyone. And that's why this morning's text is going to be super, super important. I pray that we follow David's example in this morning's psalm. So if you haven't done so already, I invite with you to turn with me to Psalm 16. The verses will be on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, turn there as well. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O Lord, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Amen. Amen. See, in this particular psalm, and many other psalms for sure, but especially in this one, we see the psalmist, in this case David, give a beautiful and comprehensive picture of what it looks like to have such a high view of God and who he is. Like, when you read these, ask yourself this, when you read these verses, is your view of God that high? Is it as high as what David is describing here? We'll get back to this exact God in a second, but well-known author and pastor A.W. Tozer once said in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, and I love this book, it's a great book, but he once said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. For this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. And the most portentous fact about any man is not what he at a given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. See, we want to be a people. We want to be a body of Christ that has a very, very high view of God. Amen? We want God to be rightfully first. That's kind of the entire point of this message, right? It's literally the title, but God, but first, God. So since the Lord should be first in our life, we can say with absolute certainty that the Lord is above all. The Lord is above all. Yes, it's simple, but it's still a powerful truth. And we are not looking to reinvent the wheel this morning, right? If it's a simple truth, then that is what we are going to proclaim. There is a lot, this is a very simple, but it's still a beautiful and it's a very powerful psalm. There's a lot of truth to be had and to be learned and to be reminded of this morning. The Lord is above all. So the question that develops out of that then is, well, how do we know that the Lord is above all? Right? How do we know? How can we be sure? Can we be sure? Yes, we can. The Lord is above all. See, there are areas or evidences here in Psalm 16 that will point us to this truth directly, that the Lord is above all. David understood it, and I pray this morning we understand it as well. So let's take a look at that first area. I think you're going to love this. The Lord proves himself in this physical life. The Lord proves himself right here, right now, in this physical life. Yeah, I mean, that pretty much covers it, right? He proves himself in life. Well, stay with me for a second. We're gonna get rolling with this. A few preliminary notes, though, before diving deeper into the text in Psalm 16. Overall, this psalm, Psalm 16, highlights the joy that David experienced in life. And this was based on the trust and the fellowship that David had with the Lord. Right? We know that David was a man after God's own heart. We know he had this extreme trust, this extreme fellowship as he walked with his God. So this leads to a trust in all aspects of life for David, a trust that he then begins to talk about in Psalm 16. And I believe that it can for us as well. So you cannot read this Psalm of David, and you can't read a lot of Psalms of David without thinking, wow, David really saw God as above all else. And that's kind of the point here. Well, we can break it down into smaller pieces that reflects that whole. The Word of God shows this, right? So back to Psalm 16, verses 1 through 8. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. See, I know I read those verses earlier, but they're so good, I wanted to read them again. Yeah. Now, many of you may know, that I am a graduate of Warren Central High School on the east side of Indianapolis. And I love my Warren Central sports. A week from this upcoming Friday, first football game, I love it. We're going to bring home state championship number 10. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But for many years, I would go to games with a gentleman who graduated way back in the 70s. Where were my friends from high school? Well, they don't go to football games, so I hang out with the people who graduated way back in the 70s. Before each game, during the coin toss, right, when the teams are, the captains are at center field, he would always hope that Warren would start the game on defense. Every single time, I want to start the game on defense. Well, why is that, Dan? We need to set the tone, and we do it defensively. Okay, just a simple question, man, a simple question. We want to let the other team know it's going to be a long night versus the Warriors tonight, and we're going to do it by starting out on defense. Set the tone. An interesting concept, right? Set the tone. A lot of sports coaches and a lot of leaders will often talk about that. We want to set the tone for our team or set the tone for our organization. Well, let's look at verse 1 here. Because that's exactly what's happening, right? A tone setter. See, what better way to set the tone than by offering a prayer to God, by asking God for preservation, saying that he is the source of preservation, and acknowledging that he alone is refuge. That's what I call a tone setter, and that's what I call a God-first mentality. And this particular psalm isn't necessarily entirely about God just preserving in times of trial. It's about God just preserving in general. Though we know David had them, and we know God does do that, this psalm focuses in that in all aspects of life, mountaintop or valley, God is still God, and he is still good. Can you find goodness anywhere else? Can you find hope anywhere else? Goodness, where are you? Well, you don't need to look very far to find goodness. David answers that question in verse 2, definitively even, right when he says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good besides you. That pretty much takes care of it. He answers that question, but this is not the only place in the Psalms that highlights this truth. See, later on in Psalm 73, verse 25, the psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. You see, David, in this case, another psalmist, asked maybe the most rhetorical question any of us could ever ask. Who do you have other than the Lord? Outside of his goodness, where can you find it? You know what the answer is. I know what the answer is. And anybody here listening who is honest with themselves knows what that answer is. Outside of God, you cannot find it. See, David knew the answer. David recognizes that his only reliance is on God. Yahweh is his only hope, not just in times of distress, but period. God is his only reliance. God is first. See, those who trust God in all aspects of life, those who see God as above all else, will also find delight in the people of God. That's where David transitions to. If God is above all else in your life, then the overflow of that, the natural overflow, is that finding delight in the presence of fellow saints. Because here's another thing that is true. If you don't value fellowship, and if you don't value being with the people of God, and in our case, the church, what is your view of God actually like? See, one of my favorite verses is 1 John 1:7, which says, but if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I love at the very end there, John just gets that little, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I love it. Throw that at the end of any truth in God's word, and it just makes it much more powerful. But wait a minute here. So John is essentially echoing what Psalm 16:3 is saying, in that if we trust in the Lord above all else, if we view him above all, if we view him as first, and we are living a life that actually reflects that, fellowship with others who are like-minded isn't just encouraged, it's assumed or it's expected. See, elsewhere in the Old Testament, Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8, would reveal that God's people were called to be holy because God is holy. And that's a calling that Peter repeats in 1 Peter 1:16. So essentially, God is holy, right? Therefore, he calls his people to be. God is holy, therefore you are to be holy. And if you believe the former, that God is holy, then be a part of the latter, be a part of his people. David had a love for fellow saints. He certainly is describing a delight that he had in the people of God. So if we are going to see the Lord as above all else in all aspects of your life, David moves forward to say, you are also going to unequivocally reject the worship of anything else, which is what David describes here in verse 4. He recognized only sorrow for those who did not or do not see the Lord as the only. He would not offer sacrifices. He wouldn't even utter mentions of anything or anyone else but the Lord God. Whew. That's good stuff. That is where placing God, where he rightfully belongs in all aspects, looks like. Other gods, gods of this world, not even going to mention them. I'm all about my Lord. The Olympics have been going on. Has anybody been watching the Olympics? I know they're all late at night, but it's been real interesting stuff. The other night, I was actually texting my friend Kyle, and I was like, I'm watching all of these different sports, right, and all these different competitions, and I'm looking through, watching some crazy ones, like, you know, table tennis and whatever they're doing there, and I'm just like, I see very few of these events that I could participate in casually, let alone at an Olympic level. In fact, the two that caught my mind were, no, not synchronized swimming, were pole vaulting and the high jump. You guys ever seen pole vaulting or the high jump? I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm just imagining all the scenarios here that could go wrong when you're trying to do this. I was going to demonstrate it for you this morning, but I'm like, I don't really want to go to the hospital this morning. What happened to Pastor Jacob? Well, he went to the hospital for a sermon illustration, but the illustration was on point, but he's still on his way to the hospital. No, we weren't going to do that because this takes a lot of training and it takes a lot of practice and, you know, a lot of talent, which I do not have in that regard. What happens in these events, right? You either run with the pole and use the pole to launch yourself over the bar, or you just run, you know, with your legs, because that's how you run, and you jump over the bar just with your legs, right? Those are what they do. So what they do, as competitors keep clearing the bar, keep clearing a height, they keep raising the bar until only one person can get over and everyone else hits the bar. And they keep doing that as many times that are needed to declare a winner. See, in a way, that's what David is doing in Psalm 16. Yes, the Lord is above all else in life. And to show this, David is like, there's only one place I find goodness. Okay, let's raise the bar even more than that. I delight in fellowshipping with God's people. Okay, let's raise the bar even further. I will worship no other gods. David keeps raising the bar for what it looks like to put God first. He moves on to describe then what God has given him as a very special and a more than fair inheritance. Verses 5 and 6. See, David is very grateful and he is very satisfied also in the Lord's provision. And the metaphor that he uses here isn't insignificant either. See, a large portion of the Old Testament is about God's promises to his people and what the people of God will inherit, right? The promised land is a huge example of that. So for David to recognize, you know what? It's not really just about the land or the name or the blessings. It's really about having the Lord, having Yahweh, having that relationship with God. See, that's powerful, right? And I can imagine David's audience reading this psalm and being like, well, David's talking about inheritance, he's talking about his law, and he's saying, well, really, it's just about the Lord. Like, that's the center part of all this. And just thinking about how meaningful, how significant that particular example was. It's a powerful example in his time, and it should serve as a powerful example for us today. See, and David also then goes on to recognize that the Lord has also been his counselor, He's been the one who guides him, both in the light of the brightest day and the dark of the darkest night. Verse 7, David says, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. This is a true and an authentic delight in the Lord if I have ever seen one. If only the Lord has given us a similar type of counseling opportunity today, or in this case, a counselor. The Holy Spirit. John 14:26, Jesus describes the Spirit as a helper, an advocate, and a couple translations will even say counselor. Jesus, the Messiah, is described as wonderful counselor in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 9:6 is that reference. So while David speaks of God as his counselor in Psalm 16, the rest of the Bible says that this is true of the Father, it's true of the Son, and it's true of the Spirit. All throughout the Bible, God is a counselor, his people. Can we just take a moment to praise God for his sovereignty? Sovereignty that allows us to trust him as our counselor, and that allows us to trust him in the everyday aspects of our life. I mean, isn't that just praiseworthy? This section ends with the psalmist saying, David saying, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. At my right hand describes the position of a protector or a defender. Basically, David is saying, because the Lord is my protector, he's my defender, I will not be shaken. And we know from his life, David was an interesting guy. He's probably speaking from firsthand experience here, because this dude was chased over and over and over again, and after it all, he is still saying, God is my defender, he is my protector. The Lord, over and over again, just as he does with us, he proved to be David's protector. David knows that nothing can shake him or his confidence. Yes, were there times where things looked bleak for David? Yes. Were there times where he cried out to God? Also, yes. But David, who even in his position of maximum earthly power as king, recognized that nothing could possibly come before the Lord. What comes before the Lord? Nothing. I'm going to ask one more time. What comes before the Lord?
Nothing.
Nothing. This brings to mind the words also of Proverbs 3:26, which says, For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. For the Lord will be your confidence and keep your foot from being caught. Who is your confidence? The Lord. This is in the context of pursuing and desiring wisdom, right? Because that's a lot of what Proverbs is about. So friends, I ask you, what is more wise than living a life that completely trusts God in all aspects? A life that places God where he rightfully belongs first. Is there anything more wise than placing him above all else? The first area that we can see the Lord as above all in is this: the Lord proves himself in all aspects of physical life. This is the first evidence from Psalm 16 that he shows himself as above all. He proves himself in all aspects of physical life. But here's the thing. Psalm 16:8 and even Psalm 16:9, Psalm 16:10, Psalm 16:11 is quoted by Peter in Acts 2, specifically verses 25 through 28. Now, I think it's only fitting because Pastor Aaron has been leading us through our Acts, the Church on the Move series. It's only fitting that this psalm provides a portion of Peter's famous preaching on Pentecost. Look how Peter uses the words from Psalm 16 in his message. Acts 2:25 through 28. For the Lord says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Like I said, this reference from Acts actually quotes from Psalm 16, 8 through 11, which is where we're heading. But Psalm 16 was quoted at the birth of the church. Does it give us an important message then? Absolutely. The Lord is above all, and he proves this in our physical lives, but that is not the end of this story. As Peter's message in Acts 2 shows, God does not only prove himself during this physical life, but the Lord proves he is above all in what happens after physical death. This is the second and really only other area there is, right? You have life, and then you have physical death. But this is super important, right? The Lord proves himself in what happens after physical death. So here's the connection. The context of Peter's message was the preaching of and about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. See, in Acts 2:32, a few verses ahead, Peter says that God raised this Jesus from the dead. The verse before that, Acts 2:31, he once again quotes Psalm 16, saying that David is actually the one looking ahead and speaking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's in these moments that I just love how God will tie multiple truths together in his word. Let's revisit Psalm 16, and let's read verses 9 through 11 once again. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures. For how long? Forever. The immediate context of David's psalm may not necessarily, in his day, may be immediately messianic. But subsequent revelation from God has shown it to be absolutely such. We are looking ahead here. David's words echo future glory and future rejoicing and an eternal security that can only come through salvation in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. That can only come through salvation that is found in and because of Jesus Christ. The Lord is the source of our rejoicing. He is the source of our truth. And this is something David understood. Jesus is the only way to have this pleasure forever. Peter's sermon at Pentecost is not the only place in the book of Acts where Psalm 16 is quoted. Paul quotes Psalm 16:10 in Acts chapter 13, verse 35. Acts 13:35 says, therefore, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. It's very interesting. So we have Peter quoting it. We have Paul quoting it. Who is the Holy One here in Acts that's being referred to? It's Jesus. Contextually, it's Jesus. This is so amazing because in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul will say that Christ not only died in accordance with the scriptures, but he was raised from the dead. Also in accordance with the scriptures. This was God's plan all along, and his plan did not and does not fail. Therefore, we can trust him. We see him as above all, even after physical death. The Lord proves he is above all because of what happens in eternity. The fact that there even is or is eternal glory is a result of this, of the Lord showing he is above all. The fact that we even have eternal life, have that chance to put our faith in Christ, is reason enough to rejoice. Amen? Amen. David for sure is confident with what happens after death and how he will dwell securely. Paul, in the New Testament, mentions several times just how confident he is with what's going to happen to him after his physical death. Listen to these verses. Philippians 1, 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Okay. I think he's pretty confident making that statement. That's bold, but it's confident. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 9. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. See, that's a perfect summary, right? Place the Lord above all if you're living here, and the Lord will be above all when you're with him in eternity, both life and eternal life. When God's word says over and over that when you live now, you live for Christ, live a life pleasing to him, and after death, you actually have great gain and can be confident in that day because of Christ, but because you'll be with Christ. Does this deepen your trust in God? Does this make you want to, man, he needs to be first? I pray it does. I pray that's exactly what you're thinking. Psalm 16:11, the last verse of the psalm, captures this beautifully. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. What a psalm! What a truth! What great confidence and trust that we can have in the Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. David was confident he would be delivered. He was confident because he saw how the Lord showed over and over and over and over and over, just as he does with us, that he is with David and he is with us. David could trust that the Lord, he could trust the Lord in this physical life, and he could trust the Lord with what would come after. The Lord continually proved and is proving that there is no other that is like him. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, God has shown he is above all in all aspects of our physical life, and he is above all for what happens after physical death. Breaking news, newsflash, call the news stations, the Lord is above all. We can trust God. He is above all. So are you trusting in God? Think about all the different areas of your life. Maybe it's time for a little self-evaluation here. All the areas of your life. Maybe even take the time this week to write them down, right? Do a little self-evaluation. As you go through each area of your life, ask, am I trusting God here? Is he first here? Do I find my joy and my delight in the Lord? Or am I trying to find it in insert area? Is it in the Lord or is it in something else? Because we will often say that, yes, we are trusting in the Lord. We are yielding to his spirit, but practically, maybe we aren't. Maybe the way it looks is different than what we say. So do a little self-evaluation this week. Also, another really important point that David mentions that needs to come out of this. Do you delight in the people of God? Do you enjoy ministry? Do you enjoy fellowship with the body? Is there a ministry even here at EC Grace or an area of serving right now that you are not a part of, that maybe you could be a part of? Do it. Don't just say, well, maybe I should be a part of that. Jump in. What better way to show our trust and our delight and to place God above all in life than by being active and serving in his church in the local body? Also, another thing, this always comes up, but this is so important. You know, each Wednesday night, we gather right here for prayer. Right now, Pastor Paul is taking us through a great series on trusting God. There's your plug, Pastor Paul, trusting God. Maybe that's a good first step, being here and being involved on Wednesdays. What better way to acknowledge how God is above all and first than by going to him with fellow brothers and sisters in prayer? By gathering with his church to pray. And then maybe there's somebody listening this morning Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you don't have this trust. Maybe you don't have this confidence, this belief that the Lord is above all. What's holding you back? What's holding you back from having this confidence, this trust, this God-first mentality? God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for your sin, the penalty that you and I could never pay, right? You've heard the verse, the famous quoted verse, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16. Well, it's true. He does. God loves you, and he desires for you to put your entire trust, not just trust here or trust there, but your entire trust in him, both for this life and for eternity. Those of us who know Jesus can say with absolute certainty, we not only trust him today, but we know that we can trust him with our eternity as well. And we have, this is the key thing, we have tremendous joy because of it. Do you have tremendous joy because of God? Yes. Absolutely. Yes is the right answer. In that day, the book of Daniel talks about the difference between those who know the Lord, who can be confident, and those that do not know and lack this confidence. Daniel 12, verse 2. "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." Out of those two groups, which sounds better? Everlasting life. I pray that today may be the day where you completely put your trust in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that day, you can sing and know with certainty to the line to the famous hymn, "And Can It Be?" Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. The Lord is above all, his throne, his crown, his glory, his eternity that he has invited us to be a part of is above all. And we're going to believe that this morning. We're going to sing that this morning. We can be bold because of our God, the Lord. He is first. And can it be? Yes, it can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this truth. Lord, I just pray that as we've looked at in the psalm this morning, Lord, that you are above all. Lord, that we acknowledge you as such. Lord, that we live a life of confidence and trust in you as first. Lord, we love you. Lord, but I pray for those this morning listening that maybe they don't trust you. They have not put their faith in you. Lord, that you just reveal to them that you work in their hearts, Lord, that today is the day, now is the time. Lord, eternal life awaits. Lord, but I pray for David's example, Lord, in the psalm that, Lord, what a privilege it is to place you above all. Lord, what a blessing it would be to live a God-first life. So I pray that for those of us who do know you, Lord, that it is God-first. Lord, that we can be bold, that we can be confident, because we know that you are at our right hand, that you go before us, that you lead, and that you guide us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. Amen.